Welcome back to Marriage and Martinis. Madam, here's Danielle.
Hello.
Hello. You're excited to talk about this podcast, aren't you?
I am.
You are.
I am. I'm sentimental about this
podcast.
You
made some besties.
I feel like I fell in love.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because before we went even, something, it was so strange. Somehow I knew I was going to love these two so much. And I've been following them for a while on Instagram and everything. And I love their posts and I love their podcast. And what I love so much about them is even when I don't, like, even if we don't have all the same philosophies on everything, I so respect them for how open they and honest they are and unapologetic about the way they are raising these strong girls. They both have daughters and they just, some people say they're open and honest about everything, but then you're sort of like, you know, they're probably holding back. Not Erica and Jamila.
No. With all that being said, my take out of it was they were just some damn cool people to hang out with.
Yes.
Yeah. We had some fun.
Absolutely. And when you listen to this podcast episode, you need to keep in mind a few things. First of all, you're coming in on the middle part of a full day together where we have already sort of bonded and been talking for hours. So you're really coming in on, like, we're getting to a point where we're very, very comfortable. That imagine if you were sitting around with friends and someone came in the middle and just recorded your conversation.
Right.
That's how this is. So in some sense, it's a little more vulnerable and a little maybe edgier in a sense, somewhat, than some of our other episodes because we felt so comfortable and because we were a little drunk.
Huh. To say the least.
I mean, we were waiting for their videographer to come and he kept getting later and later and later. So every time we were like, all right, well, we'll just have one more drink while we're waiting.
Yeah, which happened to be going out for another bottle of vodka because we ran out of the first one.
Right. And when we say went out, it's in walking distance to the liquor store.
Of course.
So it's okay. So anyway, it was a phenomenal day. I'm so glad we have this podcast episode as like a little memento. And then they came and they hung out with us another night and we all went out and partied and they showed us a little bit about LA. And the energy from that day, I will never forget. And the energy of like being in Erica's house and just hanging out together and bonding.
I remember in the thick of it, you just being like, this is my favorite day ever.
Yeah. And I felt like that. And I think I almost cried when we left.
You probably did.
Yeah. So anyway, please enjoy Good Moms, Bad Choices, Jamila and Erica. It's a podcast hosted by two uncensored and outspoken sex and cannabis positive parents challenging the stereotypes of single parenting and societal norms. Jamila and Erica talk completely open and honestly about absolutely everything. And I can't wait for people to hear this episode because I love these two ladies so much.
Okay. Well, all right. Enjoy.
We're here in LA.
We are here.
That's
in LA.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It is pretty fucking cool. It's been awesome.
You know why it's cool? Because we're with Good Moms, Bad Choices.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, here are the girls.
Yes.
Introduce yourselves, please.
We just walked in.
Hey, hello, everybody. Is that you?
And I already feel like I've made, like, best friends. Like, I'm, like, fucking obsessed.
You're so
fun.
Yes. Well, introduce yourselves, please.
Hey, what's up? I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
And we are Good Moms.
Bad Choices.
Aw, you guys are so good. We need like a thing like that. We need to be like, I'm Marriage and I'm Martina.
we swear we didn't rehearse that, but...
Yeah, no. You guys are good.
Wait, I would be Marriage.
Welcome to Hollywood.
I'm
Marriage?
No, I'm Marriage, you're Martina.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And we're drinking martinis.
And we're drinking Cosmos.
For 4 hours now?
We're two bottles in of martinis.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for...
That's why Adam can't remember our name for the podcast.
If you made it this far, thank you for joining us.
You must really love us.
Exactly. Okay, Skirt, go ahead. What are we talking about?
No, I was going to say we've learned a few things since we've been away from our kids. And one of them is that... early bird specials are not just for old people.
No. Well, we are old people, so they are for old people.
Right. Yeah. So we went out yesterday. We were walking around Melrose, and I saw a restaurant that I really wanted to try, but I knew it was like super expensive. And we stopped, and we tried it, and we went inside, and everything was like 50% off because it was like
And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, we should be 65 and eating at the Early Bird. Wait, wherever we go.
Where the fuck right. were you at?
So yeah. we were
that was so okay. great with the Early Bird
we
special.
We were at yeah. Fig and Olive.
They have an Early Bird special?
Or was it Happy Hour?
It was Happy Hour.
I'm like, what? Wait, I need clarity
here. I've never seen an Early Bird special anywhere in Los Angeles.
Okay, they called it Happy Hour. We called it the Early Bird okay. special.
Got it.
We're going to need clarity
yes.
on that.
Yes. Okay. So we called it the Early Bird special. So we ordered all this amazing food.
Yeah.
And we were literally, and we peed in between every course because we're over 40.
Yeah.
And then we were just sort of like, this was amazing because when we got the bill, I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this is the bill.
Yeah. We had a lot of cocktails, a lot of food, and it was like half the price of what we had for lunch at our hotel
yeah.
the day before.
Yeah, okay, it was pretty amazing.
I definitely have to write this.
You got
to
check this out.
This is my new travel tip, is to go and do everything at, yeah. at happy hour because, and then we went home and like we hung out.
Don't eat till 5, everyone.
Don't eat. No, we were like 3:30.
No, it was later
It was
than
like
that.
4.
Yeah, yeah, 4:30. It was much later.
But anyway, that's my big travel tip that we've gotten since being away is...
And they didn't card us to make sure we were over 65.
Well, sometimes you've gotten carded and I haven't.
Well, that's to be over 21.
Right. They didn't ask for
Thank you for that.
Yeah, they didn't ask for our AARP card. That's
exactly.
True. Right, yeah. Right. So today we have Erica and Jamila here from Good Moms, Bad Choices. And I've been a super fan for a while. And now that I've met you guys, I'm an even bigger super fan because I feel like it was fate that we met each other. And I love you guys.
It feels like we've known each other, right?
Right?
It's crazy. Like, we did this before.
100%. It's
kind of
like
we've done this before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
bizarre.
Yeah, and I wanted to get a lot of perspectives on you guys. So obviously we're a marriage podcast, but we want to have all different people on with all different relationships and everything. And so I sort of wanted to give you guys to give a background about who you are and how you started your podcast and everything.
Well, basically, I had my daughter, and I was the first of all my friends to have a child, and so I had no mom friends whatsoever. I had a girlfriend who literally posted a photo of Jamila with her child, and I was like, wait, who is that? She has a baby? Does she live in the valley? She must be my friend. She's like, oh, it's funny you say that. We're actually going to go to this bar on Friday. You should come. I went. I literally saw Jamila. I was like, hey, girl. Heard you have a kid. She was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, we should hang out. Let's schedule it right now.
So it was like Tinder for moms.
No, it was literally, and yeah, it really was Tinder for moms.
Can you explain what the valley is? Where we come from, the valley is like, hey,
like, right, like hi.
Wait, so yeah, do you think we sound like that, Adam?
No, not at all.
That's why I want you guys to explain.
Great. That's great that you feel that
actually
way.
No, that's accurate.
It, is it?
It is like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, oh my God. Yeah.
We're totally
like
going to meet up at the park tonight.
So tired.
So what is the valley actually?
Where you're at right now.
Is this the valley?
Thank you. Okay, but like, so, what does it mean?
So San Fernando Valley is... Like, obviously, there's, like, many valleys in California and southern Los Angeles. There's San Gabriel Valley, where Pasadena is. But the valley, where everyone's talking about when they say the valley, is this valley, San Fernando Valley. It's the valley that's adjacent to, like, West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Hollywood. So we're right over the hill. So, like you guys said when you came in, this is, like, the suburbia of Hollywood.
Of Los Angeles.
Of Los Angeles. So when you hear the Kardashians, they're in Calabasas. That's
the valley.
That's the valley. Okay. When you hear about North Hollywood and, I don't know, what else is fucking popular?
Sherman Oaks.
Studio City.
Is Studio City where all the studios are?
Yes.
Okay, like Burbank.
Warner Brothers. Right. Those are, yeah. So CBS is in Studio City. So I guess, yeah, that's where it comes from. A lot of, like, production places are here.
Burbank.
Oh, it's the biggest hub for porn.
Really?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
The fun fact, San Fernando Valley is like where 99% of the porn comes
from. So where do they film all the porn?
Well, mostly more back in the day when it was more classy.
Yeah, I see.
And less internet-y.
It was like, yeah, Woodland Hills, Chatsworth, Wernada Hills. Really, any?
I filmed all my porn.
Yeah, there. just text the address to Daniel's phone.
Right. Right. Growing up, I knew like I had very good friends that were like big porn stars.
Wow.
That are still my friends now.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I guess in other places is not like.
But I don't have any porn star friends, and I also grew up in the valley, so that's not actually a thing.
Okay, so you want to hear the story of the last time I was in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Adam's so sick of this story.
Which one?
So last time I was in Los Angeles, I was with my brother. we went to visit the Menendez brothers in jail.
Oh my gosh, I was just telling my friend about them last night.
Wait, who were they? What did they do again?
They killed their parents. Yes.
So my brother was best friends with Lyle Menendez. All growing up.
This is like a Hollywood, like...
Right. So the last time I was here, we came out. My best friend growing up, who actually introduced Adam and I, her parents are both producers in Hollywood. So we used to come every summer and, like, do, you know, like,
Hollywood
super,
shit.
Like, famous stuff. But the last time we came out, my brother came with us so that we could go and visit Lyle and Eric Menendez in jail before
in
we knew...
In jail?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in jail.
Wait,
yeah,
no, I know that, but, I like, couldn't they go went in. To visit them in jail?
I couldn't go in. I had to sit in the waiting room. My brother went and visited.
Are they still... They're
still in jail.
Oh, they'll be in jail for the rest of
forever.
Their life.
Forever. Are they friends? Yeah. Are they maintaining contact via pen pal?
So I think my brother maintained contact for a long time, like, and then he realized that they were lying, and it was just, like, too much work to stay in touch.
To
so.
Be a friend with some murderer.
Yeah. You know, murderous friends are accomplices.
Yeah. And my brother's, like, a really good friend, but I think at a certain point he was sort of like, okay.
You killed your parents.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
so. I'm going to have to end this.
But that was the last time we were literally here. Was
I'm
like,
not sending you anymore.
Money.
That's
yeah. As a kid growing up, driving down that canyon, their house is like at the very beginning of like between like where the hill begins at Beverly Hills on Beverly Glen. So my mom would be like, that is Linda's house. I was like, I would always like, oh, that's where it all went down.
What's up with fucking freaky ass twins killing their parents?
They shot them
in the back of the head.
They weren't twins.
They shot them like 45 times.
I know. 40? While they're watching a film.
Wait, you can't do 45.
Like they're watching a movie and they
shot them,
and then they got
times.
All their money, and then like partied for like a few months.
How did they get away with it?
Because
they got
all this money and just were partying so hard for like a few months, yeah. And then jail, and now
yeah, it was
and
bad.
Now they have now one of them's married. Like we've had stories afterwards. Like I think one became like because they were attractive. Like one
they're very came, very they're very
handsome. They had like pen pal wives or I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy time growing up.
Well,
but,
this is important for single women. Well, just because they're sexy doesn't mean they didn't kill their parents. Well,
but just because they killed their parents doesn't mean they did not have a reason.
Remember right. That. Well, that's a whole.
All right, I just want to bring it there because right. I feel bad that we're just kind of going down and bashing.
Bashing murderers. We're like bash shaming. What is it? Slut shaming? No.
Yeah, no.
Murder shaming.
Their parents were always sort of. Yeah,
that doesn't mean kids don't kill your parents right. Just because you're mad at them.
First of all,
that
you
doesn't
guys,
mean that
we're all parents. How are you even going to? Okay,
I'm not throwing that out there.
Justify
I'm just saying. Not everybody is as guilty as charged. That's all.
Right. Okay. You know, that was a huge, it was a mystery. And not a mystery. We knew what was going on.
All right, let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
Well, I'm happy you came. Not on a murderous mission.
Yeah, right. Except for Adam coming to the window before.
That was kind of scary.
So I wanted to talk a little bit today about, so you're both single moms now. You're best friends. You're both raising girls who are the same age. And I think for us, we're raising three kids, 14, 11, and 7, and we're in a suburb of New Jersey. I think it's probably a really different way to raise kids than in the Valley of Los Angeles. Is that what we call it? The Valley of Los Angeles?
Yeah, San
Francisco. Right. The Valley of Los Angeles.
Good enough. Yeah. And I think it's complicated no matter what now to raise kids and to raise girls and boys, both. Like, it's all complicated. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how we plan to do that. And Adam and I are similar to you guys in that I think we're super open about everything. There's nothing off the table that we won't talk about. And I think that helps a lot with kids. But it also, like, raises the question of how do we plan to bring this all up to our kids, especially we have a girl, you guys have girls. And, like, how do we... Number one, body positivity right now is becoming a big thing. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to shift the conversation from you need to look a certain way to we want you to be accepted no matter how you look. And, you know, you should be proud of yourself no matter how you look. And I'm trying to come up into that by my own, like, at 41 years old. So it's hard for me to trickle that down to my kids when I'm still dealing with that. So... Let's start with, like, body positivity and how do we teach that to our girls?
I mean, I think it's really, it's, you have to be conscious of it. Because I think even for me growing up, like, my mom wasn't body positive. She was always kind of down on her body. And even now, like, I have to check her. I'm like, Mom, every time I talk to you, you're talking about this. And it has affected me, even through being conscious that that was her issue. It's, you can't help but, as a child, that affects you. And yeah. You start looking at yourself. So I think for me, I've had issues with my body as well, and accepting that, I think, especially because growing up in LA, whether we want to talk, like, whether we want to admit that it's Hollywood or not, I think I was acting at a young age. I was comparing myself to other kids at a young age, probably more so than the average kid. And then on top of that, my mom was always hyper conscious of her body. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to check myself. Like, I've really conscious about ever saying, maybe I've said it's like a friend, like a girlfriend, but like I'm never like around Irie saying I'm fat, I feel fat, because I know what that,
unless we like just ate, you're like,
ugh. Yeah, but even then it's just,
you're more conscious of it.
I'm so conscious of it because I know how I struggled with it. I think it's just a conscious thing, like, even if you feel that way, which we all do at some point or another, it's just like trying to, and I hate to say this, internalize it. But like, don't say that shit out loud, okay?
Well, how much of this do you think is a regional thing? Like saying we're out here,
I don't think it's only regional.
I'm questioning, I'm not saying.
I'm just saying, we're hyper conscious about our body image.
Yeah, well, like, I'm out in LA for the first time, right? And I see it just being at the hotel we're at, looking around, seeing like everybody's looking for this perfection, mm-hmm. looking for where we come from back on the East Coast with New York, and like, I don't think it's quite as apparent.
Oh, no, it's not.
But there's always this kind of self-image of being at a certain weight, being a certain body weight, mm-hmm. like being like looking for that perfection. But that, I think that's changing. I think that's more, it's because it's not so much about health anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it used to be,
I think
it used to be like exercise and eat well and be healthy.
LA is all of the above.
Yeah.
We're super health conscious because we're weight conscious, because we're shallow, because
no, don't generalize me. You said weight.
No, I have seen very few overweight
people since I've been here.
I'm saying we as in Los Angeles. I'm not talking to you. I'm not weight conscious. I weigh 98 fucking pounds. I've never had to be weight conscious.
Holy shit!
I know. It's a thing.
Because you don't know what we actually look like. Jamila's like just petite. Like,
yeah, I'm just like, let me clarify.
She eats more food than any person.
No, I just watched you eat a whole bunch of Mexican food.
Yeah, honey, it was Thai.
But. Oh, Ty.
No, but the thing is, I'm petite, but I'm shapely. Okay, I'm curvy petite.
Watch it.
Calm down. I'm 98 pounds soaking wet. But even me being thin, I wanted to be thicker. I want to be thicker right now, bitch. We can't gain any weight. I keep fucking eating. Nothing's happening. But LA is health conscious. Even if I'm not overweight or even on the spectrum of it, I'm constantly like, I shouldn't have ate that meat. I don't need to eat meat. It's not good for my body. It's not good for the globe. It's not good for the environment. And it's giving me bad energy. The cows that were consumed mm-hmm. were in a negative space. And now I'm in a negative space. It's giving me a headache. Like, so
what?
No, I'm saying I'm health conscious because I live here. I think LA is all of the above.
Well, you shouldn't say health conscious. Your body image conscious. Because it's not about health. Because 98 pounds for you might be healthy. Right?
So whether I'm also 5'1".
Like, right.
I'm
so whether you watch what you eat or whether you're not eating meat or eating meat, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever works for you is healthy. It doesn't matter about what weight you are.
Right. It doesn't. And I'm super pro however you look right now, be naked.
Right. I know. I almost sent you guys a nude.
Oh, you should. I know.
You guys have a thing where you send everybody a nude. You send us a nude. We want to see it. And I was very close to sending it. And then I can't do it.
Well, I know.
You guys, and that's what I love about you is that you're so, like,
sharing
accepting.
Our nudes with other people, but obviously on one replay.
I was ready to send my nude, and then I was like, I can't fucking do it. But you guys are so awesome that you're super accepting and you think everybody's beautiful.
But you know what I'm going to say? It's like, I think what is important is, like, I think now we're in a time where, like, for our kids, like, we see people glorifying different bodies now. Like, some of your favorite people are not skinny.
Right. I think about Amy Schumer.
And I think that's important. Like, I want my daughter to know that every type of person is beautiful. Mm. I'm consciously trying to, even if it seems like, if you see her, she's beautiful. Like, she's beautiful. I want her to know that because she's going to be inevitably influenced by what the general
social
society of beauty is. You know, so I do try maybe go extra hard the other way. Like, even when it comes to, like, you know, seeing yourself. Like, mm-hmm. as black moms, like, I want to buy my daughter black dolls because inevitably she's going to have white dolls because that's just how society has been. Mm-hmm. Just like society has defined what an attractive woman looks like or what beauty is, like, mm-hmm. what the proper weight is. So it's just like, you just have to work a little harder. But I think, thankfully, we're in a time where things are changing and, like, society's standards of what beauty is are changing. But there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, on myself and just encouraging that with my daughter.
But I think I really think it starts with how we treat ourselves and being kind to ourselves and gentle with ourselves, and then we in turn are gentle with other people. But I'm huge. Like, I'm naked all the time.
She is.
If you're, I am. I like a lot.
Always her. I'm like her nipple. It's about to come out right now.
Okay, but it's
everybody. We welcome it.
Everybody keep calm.
We've all seen it, so it's okay.
It's always out. Yeah. It's like it's not even. It's
I won't get in trouble if it pops out. Just letting you know.
It's not your fault.
No.
It's mine.
It's actually my mind like making that happen, like nipple, zoning
nipple,
in.
Nipple. But even with my child, I'm conscious of like making things not a big deal. I think as women, and I just had this conversation with my friend, I think as women, our sexuality and our bodies are so often associated with like sex and like men's gaze and like shame that we haven't focused on like their magic. They make fucking babies.
Right.
They nourish babies. No matter how they look and how they come. If my nipple comes out and Adam sees, you have three kids, dog. I'm sure you've seen lots of nipples. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've nursed a nipple when you were born. You know what I mean? And I want for men to understand, like, a part of my mission of free the nipple is that just because you see a nipple, it's not to be sexualized immediately. Everything, like, we're intimate, we're sexual beings, but we're so much more. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm a magic machine made from God, and it's not just like, ooh, pubic hair, drool, like, ooh, to be pounded on. It's just like, I'm multifaceted, just my body. And I want my child to know that, you know, like, I talked to you guys earlier, I mean, sometimes I'll post, like, covered nippled nudes on Instagram, and someone came for me and was like, Luna's gonna think that's my daughter. She's four. She can do that because she sees you do it. But it's like, I'm an adult. I make adult decisions, and I'm not doing it for attention or for this because, like, I feel good about my body, and I want you to know I feel good about my body, and I don't give a fuck how you feel.
You want to encourage other people
to feel. And also, my body is more than just to be lusted after. It's not just because I'm trying to get some DMs cracking. It's because I felt good today, and the light was shining just right, and that's how I feel comfortable.
Right.
I feel comfortable being naked. I'm happy being naked because it feels good. And it's not till other people have come in and been like, oh, look at Jamila, she's being naked. She wants attention. She's trying to get Adam's attention with that nipple. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not in malice or like in attention, but there's so many ways to see ourselves. And once we can see ourselves that way, and then our kids can see us that way, and then they'll feel less like self-conscious about their bodies, less like shameful, less like there's always this pervy conversation that goes around our bodies, like, be careful, people are out to get you, rapist, pervs.
We just replaced our old rugs with Ruggable rugs, and honestly, the rugs we had before just made no sense for us. We're a very high traffic household. We have three kids, two dogs, friends coming and going, and our area rugs were taking such a beating. And then when we were sending them out to be cleaned, and it was costing, I was going to say hundreds, but I think thousands.
I think it was like $1,000 to clean.
Yeah,
our
because
rugs.
You can't just steam these.
No, they
area
put it in
rugs.
A special machine or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was something insane, and they were gone for like 4 weeks or 6 weeks. But now we have these gorgeous Ruggable rugs, which come in a selection of so many different styles. I love color. I'm big on purples and blues and pinks, and I was able to find rugs that completely match our taste and our aesthetic of our house that we already have. But for people who love neutrals, grays, whatever your color scheme is, whites, they have something for those. And God bless you if you can have white rugs in your house.
Can you imagine
Holy
white rugs in our house?
Crap. Yeah, and now when there's a thunderstorm and one of our dogs won't go outside and decides to poop on the rug, or I spill coffee, which I always do, or one of the kids decides that they don't have to take their shoes off after playing outside in the dirt, we just pick up the rug and throw it in the washing machine.
Yeah, like it's that easy.
It's that easy. Ruggable rugs are machine washable. Throw it in the wash, throw it in the dryer, and lay it back out like new. Even an 8x10 area rug fits in a standard washer and dryer. All ruggable rugs are resistant to spills and stains. Pour coffee, wine, juice, just about anything without the stress. And they have all kinds of designer-created styles ranging from boho chic to traditional and modern, all made in the U.S. So go to myruggable.com/marriage. That's myruggable, RUGGABLE.com/marriage for 15% off your order, and free shipping will be automatically applied to your purchase. That offer is only applied if you go to myruggable.com/marriage. I have to admit that we're pretty lenient when it comes to our kids and screen time. We're actually those parents who are like, we want some peace and quiet. Here's an iPad. See if you can build an entire Minecraft world in the next 6 hours. Right?
Yeah, we kind of encourage the iPad time and screen time. A little bit, yeah. Like too much.
iPad time means our time too.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also think we have a really good balance, and we're also good about talking to our kids and trying to get them to open up and go deep about things life related, which is not always easy to do. And for some kids, it's even harder to do than with others, and to get into the real nitty gritty, to open up about their thoughts, ideas, dreams, goals, anything not video game related. I know what level our son has beat on every Mario game possible, but I don't know things like how he feels about being a youngest child, how he plans on handling someone who doesn't speak nicely to him, or, you know, really just what his dreams are and how he wants to affect the world. So Loom journals are awesome because they help kids open up in a way they might not verbally. Loom Journals provides off-screen fun and connection. Studies show that writing with a pen and a paper uses parts of the brain that texting and typing don't. And Loom Journals is not just a place to record memories and milestones. It's a connection experience for parents and children, which then becomes an heirloom. Connection is proven to be the most effective way to improve a child's behavior also. And this is why they created Loom Journals. Loom journals are perfectly balanced. They lay flat when you write. They have archival paper that will last for years to come, and they're gorgeous. When they came, I couldn't believe how beautiful they are. The pictures on the site doesn't even do it justice. They have a modern, timeless design, keepsake pocket to hold memories, a ribbon placeholder to keep your spot, gold embossed vegan leatherette cover. They're gorgeous. So go to loomjournals.com. and put in promo code MNM, and you'll get an exclusive $20 off just for our listeners. Loom Journals, L-O-O-M, journals.com. Put in promo code MNM to get an exclusive 20% off.
So something that happened to me recently that was a big deal was I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I have two boys. And
yeah, we do.
We have two boys. So
I was part of that.
I'm very big on, like, you know, since I've like gained weight recently and whatever, I'm always like, oh, I hate the way I look in photos. Like, I can't stand myself. I can't, you know, it's a big deal to me. And I'm always constantly saying, like, ugh, delete that picture. And I hate the way I look. And so recently our daughter said, I was showing her pictures, and she was like, I hate myself in pictures. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I did that to her. Like, that was me. Mm-hmm. I completely, like, did not even realize that she was picking up on that. And she's like, I can't send myself in pictures. Don't send me any more pictures of myself. And that was, like, a huge thing for me that I was sort of like, first of all, I don't want her to hear that because I don't want her thinking that she should hate herself in pictures for any reason because, you know, number one, she's too young for that. Number two, like, we should all, like, embrace the fact that we're, you know, able to have pictures taken of us, and it's a beautiful thing. And so that was big for me. And I also don't want my boys to, like, ever be, like, I want them to always encourage, you know, their partner to feel good about themselves and to feel like they should be taking pictures of themselves. And I think a lot of couples, one of you is always, like, it's usually the man taking the picture of the woman. Like, you're never, you know, I'm never like, I mean, it's, you're never like offering up like, oh, I'll take a picture of you. It's always me asking for you.
Well, yeah, you ask me to take the picture and then I show it to you and then you say, take another one.
I hate it. Take another one.
No, that's no good. Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like, well, like, I feel like most of the time this conversation does happen with women. We're the most hard, we're harder on ourselves than men are about their bodies. You know, I don't know, Adam, if you look in the mirror, she ever hears you talk about your body in that way.
Do you body shame yourself?
Never.
Not vocalize it.
I do. I guess I don't vocalize it, but I always have. I mean, I always had like this body image of, I was too skinny, I was too short, I was too whatever, so I would work out and, like, work out hard, and, like, we just did an episode recently about stuff you don't give a fuck about anymore, like, as you're getting older, and, like, you know, I was at a point 5 years ago where I was working out crazy, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half a day, every day, and I was getting huge, and I was getting great.
Great.
And, yeah. Like, to me, it was great. Like, to me,
I was getting great.
Yeah. To me, I gained weight in a good way. Right, like, right. You know, I gained a good 30 pounds, like, all muscle. Like, I was awesome. And awesome. And then a couple of years ago, I'm like, what am I fucking doing? Like, why am I, like, that's, like, it was all I was caring about. It was all I was, like,
are you prioritizing any free time your workout?
I had, I was working out. And I just got to a point where I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? Like, I don't care anymore.
Right. Well, I have a question for you guys. Like, okay, yeah, we're talking about, like, passing this on to our children. But, like, as a married couple, like, did you care that he was more buff? How does it affect you, Adam, of her talking about her body? Like, do you have these expectations about what he thinks of you? Or is it mostly about, like, who you think about?
Well, first,
I'm always worried about, because for me, sorry to interrupt. But for me, I sort of recently have sort of been like, okay, first of all, we started this podcast. I have 3 kids. I'm doing all this other work and everything. I'm sort of like, something has to give. I used to be a marathon runner. It sort of got to the point where I was sort of like, okay, I have to, something has to give right now, you know, and I just gained a lot of weight this year and whatever. And so, yeah, of course, there's part of me that's sort of like, we eat the same shit and he gains a ton of, I mean, I gain a ton of weight. He gains nothing. So, of course, there's times when I'm sort of like, what, like, is he still attracted to me? Does he still want to, you know, make out? Does he still want to touch me and whatever? That's a huge deal to me. But at the same time, I'm also trying to be that person who's sort of like, I want to be confident in myself and I want to know that I'm more than just my weight and everything. So I'm trying to do both things. I'm trying to, you know, like, be the person who's the good influence and trying to, like, say, okay, I still love myself and I still love everything I'm doing, but I also don't want to have my husband not, like, be attracted to me.
Right.
So,
but I think it goes both ways, right? Like, a lot of women feel like, am I getting too heavy? I don't like my body image. Where I think, look, you know, guys have the same thing. Guys get fat. They get, you know, the big belly. They get the dad body. The whole thing. I don't, right? So,
he doesn't. Really doesn't. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Like, if I don't work out, if I don't eat properly, I lose weight. I get skinny. I get scrawny. Right. Like, and to me, that's the same thing as the way women feel about getting fat. Right. So, there's that too, which people just don't understand because I guess that's the minority.
Well, yeah,
I think Jamila.
I want to get fatter. I want to get like.
I don't want to get fatter, but I want to be like comfortable. Like, that's why I was working out so hard. Like, I want to be comfortable in myself.
I want to get thicker, fatter. But I also am not willing to go to the gym every day.
Right.
Until September 1st.
I mean, whereas like I don't need in order for me to get thicker. It's not the gym isn't in the equation.
Right.
It's just eating.
Right. Whereas I. Yeah. Well, I think that
how does that, but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how does that make you feel, like, when he got, like, was working on his body, or, like, when she complains about her weight?
We are both probably at the peak of our...
Yeah, but she hated it, because she was, like, I was working out too much, like, my home time was workout time.
Yeah, I don't know, it got to be too much, like, it was
It wasn't like I was doing it for something.
But it's like, you don't feel obligated, okay, like, for me, like, after I had my daughter, I gained 70 pounds in pregnancy.
Me too.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I love you so much. Yes.
It's like, no one understands.
No.
Everyone's like, what? How could you?
You knew. You could look at me and tell I gained 70 pounds. I didn't even tell you.
They're like, what were you doing? What were you doing over there? I'm like, no. I'm living my fucking
pregnant
life.
Wait, the baby's
living my best life.
Right.
Wait, the baby's like 12 pounds.
Shut up.
No,
right, thank you.
Shut up.
You can punch him in the face.
What the fuck? Just because you're skinny. We
right, exactly.
Okay, we heard about your trials and tribulations.
I lost 40 of it.
Yeah. No, but like I told my partner at the time, my daughter's father, like, I need you to like tell me I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. I need you. And he didn't understand. He's like,
I think men need to hear that so much.
Like,
I need to hear that.
Even if you feel like I'm being ridiculous, even if you know I'm beautiful, you don't feel like it should be said, even if it turns you off to the fact that you have to do that for me, like, I need you to do it. I need you to tell me that.
Yes.
And I think,
like, I think that's a big deal.
But anyway, I didn't know, like, how that affected your marriage. Like,
yeah, it does, for sure.
What that dynamic is.
I think men don't realize, even now on this vacation, I feel like, when he, you know, sometimes, like, when he'll, like, reach out to, like, touch me or whatever, or we, like, make out or whatever. No. I'm serious.
When we make out, like, are we necking in the back of the car?
Honestly, like, yes, I like that. But there's some times when I'm sort of like, oh, okay, he doesn't think I'm gross. Like, I think that sort of thing, like, he's never gone through having a child. He's never gone through the
changes of your body.
Rapidly.
The other night, like, 2 nights ago, we were sitting down in the hotel at the bar, mm-hmm. and we were just having on our first cocktail, so I can't even blame being drunk or having too many. And I said to Danielle, I said, you know what? You always look really pretty. Like, you always, I think you always look real pretty. And she said, good one, you know, like, yeah, good try,
yeah,
you well, know, so she can't even accept the fact.
Well, you, yeah, so you need to be able to accept the compliment too.
I need to be able to accept the compliment, but so I have to wait for a vacation for it to happen.
Oh, fuck that. You know what? No, like, we were in the mood, we were in the moment, nothing crazy was happening, and I just, like, the thought came to my mind, mm-hmm. and I was thinking to myself, you know what, we're not crazy, like, thinking about kids and work and, like, life and everything. Like, we're just hanging out, and the thought came to my mind, I think you look pretty. So I said it. And my response, or her response, was, good try.
Yeah, I can't. Fuck you. I can't believe it. But one thing that our sexual communication coach did say to us, which I think...
You have a sexual communication
coach? She's not our sexual communication
coach. She comes on the show.
She comes on the show, yeah. But I listen to what she says. I trust her. And I think it's true. Like, one thing that she says is, like, if your spouse is having an orgasm from you, trust that. Like,
I heard the episode. If your spouse is getting hard, trust they're attracted to you. If they weren't getting an erection.
Are you sure? Sometimes that's the thing. Is that sometimes, no.
There's erectile dysfunction.
Yes. So it's not always that. But if you're,
how do you tell the difference?
Wait, tell me what happened 2 nights ago.
But that's like a basic thing for everybody.
But not for me.
Oh, so Adam has never like come two nights and
two times in one night.
And he did the other night.
The other night.
Is that the same night? Vacation sex?
Yes, that's vacation sex.
Yeah.
Because we had this thing on the podcast a month ago where we were talking to
Leah.
And he said, when I'm done, I'm done.
When I'm done, I'm done. Thank you. See you later.
He wanted to kick his ass.
Right? So this time.
Wait, that's what you said?
Yeah.
So when I'm done, I'm done.
This time, I said, when I'm done, I'm not done.
Well, that's okay. So
I want my wife.
You're actively working.
Absolutely. Working on it. Yes. See?
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's so rare. I really commend you for that, honestly.
For not being done.
So I waited an additional 10 seconds and I went again.
I was caring about your wife's
second orgasm.
Yeah. First.
I had a first. He had a second.
Oh. This is important. These are important things.
But that is
who's
one thing.
Keeping track?
No, but it is, it's a big deal because I think that a lot of people like won't go away together and won't leave their kids. And like, it's true that it's a huge benefit to every part of your relationship, including your sex life. Like for us, when we go away, you know, we have a 14-year-old at home now. Like she's doesn't go to sleep till 1:30 in the morning when we're trying to have sex. Like we're like shutting each other up
at 1:30 in the morning. We're not past 9:30.
Right. But we're never like
walking around the house naked,
going at
just going at
it. We're never like
what's the age you have to stop walking around naked in front of your kids?
One.
No, stop that.
I don't walk around naked ever in front of the kids.
I think there's a lot of rules. And rule,
gender,
men,
rules.
Yeah, gender rules.
Maybe because I had a girl
first.
What
about your underwear?
Oh, I do today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I saw my dad's underwear last week. Like,
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about
underwear. Underwear is a bathing suit. What's the difference?
I saw his dad in his underwear until a month before he was sick. And
That's different. I think naked.
All my friends have seen my dad.
No, underwear is fine. Underwear is fine. Like, what's the difference?
What about
like,
you? Are you? Do you walk around naked in front of your kids?
Well, I'll get naked in front of my daughter, and then she'll be like, "Mom, I don't want to see that." And I'm like, "Okay."
Well, you bathe with the kids.
When did you start? When did you stop feeling comfortable being naked around your son? Because I think that's where it is. It's like
I'm still not my youngest son. I'm still not 11, not comfortable. 11, 11. He's 7. The second I sort of vibe that he's not comfortable about it, he doesn't give a shit.
Well, I think once they say no, I'm not going in the bath with you.
Okay,
I think that's enough.
I think they make the decision.
I don't
want to
get in the bath with you. Oh no, okay.
But yeah, she bathes with the kids.
Yeah,
just with Jonah now.
Well, before it was with Ian until he got to an age where he was like, "Yeah, no more." Yeah.
My grandmother used to bathe with us till we were really old.
That's
like
really old.
I probably bathed with my grandmother until I was like 12. But I have like the best memories of it ever. Like there was nothing sexual about it.
I
just
fine.
Fucking loved her, and she was always naked in front of all of us. She would rip her clothes off. Like she just didn't give a shit. And I never cared.
I saw my grandma naked now. If she walks in the room naked.
But it's different, I think, when it's a woman and a woman. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think
definitely.
I think you can sense when it's enough time for your kid. I think
when it gets awkward.
Yeah, because we're not there yet, so I'm always curious. I mean, and we
have girls. I don't think it's ever going
to
be awkward.
I think with girls, it's a little different. Like, you know, when it comes to the penis... It's like HBO. There's no penis on HBO.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Euphoria. Euphoria then.
Oh, really?
A lot of penis.
There's a lot of penis.
Which really makes me love HBO.
That's why I haven't seen it.
But, you know, like...
It's very important.
It's very important.
No,
I'm serious. I think it's an important show. I think it's important.
I agree. It's important. It's traumatizing. It's scary.
Yes. But beautiful and brilliant.
Yeah. It's like all those things. But I think because, you know, both me and Jamila are single parents and we're not often in the presence of the parenting of our former significant other, I often wonder, like, what are his, like, we don't always talk about, like, what are his boundaries as far as that? Like, I don't know if her dad is still, like, walking around nude, just hanging around with my daughter because we don't live together. I would say he probably isn't. But
he's not.
Or if he's showering with her.
I asked Luna, and I think
you've asked?
I asked Luna, and I've asked him. Well, you know, it's funny, when I first had Luna, like maybe when she was a baby, he asked me, like, so when am I gonna, like, what age do you think I'm not gonna be able to do this anymore? Because I was really encouraging of, like, skin on skin, let's bathe together as a family.
Did you guys breastfeed for a long time?
I did, like, till she was like almost 3. My kid's so verbal. I know he's not up for the conversation. Like, I mean, she knows penis, she knows vagina, she knows, you know, boys have penises, like, that's not a scary thing, but, like, and if she sees it, I don't think she's gonna be, like, traumatized, but I think he's probably, like, not, he's avoiding the questions and the laughter.
Yeah. I think Adam is very skeptical about talking to our kids about all of that stuff, because I think he wasn't really spoken to about all of that, like... I think for him, it's more about, I think he thinks he knows what he's going to say, but I think when the time comes, he doesn't really know. Like,
has it not come yet? I mean, your daughter's almost 14.
So my daughter is sort of like, first of all, I think I'm more the one talking to my daughter. I think my daughter also is sort of very confident about what she knows. She's very progressive about what she knows. I think as far as a boy goes, like right now he's spoken about how you're supposed to treat a girl or a partner, you know, not knowing what's to come of it. I sort of feel like I want Adam to be very open with our kids and to say to them, you know, this is what you're going to feel and this is, and I think you're a little bit, you're uncomfortable with it.
I don't think so. No, I don't think that's true.
I do.
I just think there's a right time and place for it.
But how do you know what that right time and place is?
I'll find out.
How?
I just don't know if at 11 is the right time and place when you wake up with an erection. Because I guess looking back for me, it wasn't that time and place for me. I don't know. This is new to me.
You
know?
I
need to show me Euphoria.
I need to show me Euphoria.
Yeah.
I guess things are different now. But if I thought... From just being around our son.
I think opening up a dialogue when you're younger is super important, and I don't think you need to wait until they open the dialogue. I think you could have it open the same way my mom always had.
Well,
it open.
I don't know if that's true, because can you open it up too early? Like, don't you want to wait till they're ready? Don't you want to wait till they know something?
Yeah, what's too early? Right. No. I don't think there's too early.
And the only reason I'm saying this is because right now at 4, like, I'll ask, like, this is not sexual. This is just general. And I'm like, Luna, anyone touch your vagina lately? I say that, like, almost every other day. And then the other day she said, Mom, why are you always asking me if someone's touching my vagina? Mm-hmm. And I said, because I want to keep you safe and because I love you and because I care about you and your vagina. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, just because I'm asking her that, she is not, like, we're only perceiving things as being sexual or bad when someone tells us that. Mm. But if we're just talking about things. Okay, so, for instance, like, how old were you when you lost your virginity, Adam?
Young.
Young?
14.
Okay, so 11 and 14.
So how is really 11 not too early to start talking about it?
Nobody
did
someone
talk about it.
But because the difference,
that doesn't happen.
Well, that's not true. But the difference between 11 and 14 is, it's
but
like,
but nobody
20
had spoken
years
to you at 14 either.
But no one said 14 will be the age Adam loses
right
virginity. It could have been 13.
Well,
it could have been 12.
Because
that's
I had zero experience or interest between 11 and 14.
But you and your son are not on the same path. It doesn't matter.
And you know what?
If I saw,
especially with,
and you didn't treat
girls
well.
Well, especially with
hold
the
on
state of where
no
we are as far as
social media.
I'm smart enough to know that I can sense in my son if there's interest or not yet.
And that's fair.
And if there was, I'd be right in there talking to him about it.
Okay.
But I don't see that yet. I see him as a sports guy, as a music guy, like into like guy things. Like he doesn't talk about girls. He's had the same silly girlfriend for 10 years already.
Okay, but it wouldn't
so you
hurt
have to wait
you
until you see that.
It wouldn't hurt you to say, how do you feel about girls right now? It wouldn't hurt you to open
no,
up that
not
dialogue.
No, it would not
and
hurt
you
at
could
all. Of course I could.
Yeah,
yes.
just because you're opening a dialogue doesn't mean like you're like,
go straight
here's
to
a rubber. Right. Here's the protection you need. Don't bring home
right
any grandbabies.
Right.
There's a spectrum, and I think just like the more comfortable the dialogue begins to be in the in the context of the maturity of the child, the better.
I think we're so uncomfortable talking about it because even me, because I wasn't raised that way, and I try to talk. Even having my daughter know how to identify body parts as vagina and not peepee, or like
yes
breasts and
saying
they're
the
not
right
boobies.
Yeah.
Like she calls them boobies regardless because that's what she hears at school and she hears peepee. Like that's regardless. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen anyway. I actually have to get in the habit of it because this is not a normal conversation for me either. It feels uncomfortable.
Sure.
To me. Maybe more so than it does for you. And like I have to put it into practice and it's not comfortable. And it's like baby steps. So like it's not like you have to take this big leap into like, okay, now we're talking about guitars and now we're talking about condoms and sex. Like it's baby steps so that you can also get used to it. And then it's an easier conversation to have as the conversation opens up. So that it's not like this jarring, daunting, like,
I agree.
Oh my God.
I found
cum on a towel. What do we do now? You know, it's like, okay, we've talked about girls. We've talked about like
erection,
pleasure in some capacity and way. Like, I feel like you have to, you know your kid better than anybody.
We've watched Animal
Planet. You
know,
like, the
they were saying
and
Animal
also
House.
And
like,
this
that's
is,
more
and this
like
is
it.
Also, we are so not, we're not as deep as in parenthood as you guys are. So it's really
right
easy
for
us
to
like have these
right
opinions, right?
I know. It's,
but
yeah,
it's easy for us to have these opinions, but I'm also like trying so consciously not to repeat the things that I felt like held me back in ways that I wish my mom felt comfortable with. And now that I'm faced as a parent to have these conversations, I understand why she felt uncomfortable. Because it's fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's not uncomfortable.
And my son doesn't want to talk to me about it. He wants to talk to his dad about it. I mean, for sure. Like, he wants him to be the one to broach the subject. And
yeah, even sometimes, even that, fuck it. You still talk about it. I don't care.
Oh,
if
why
I'm
not
uncomfortable?
Because I can tell that he's like more comfortable with you about things than he is with me. I'm happy to talk to him about it.
No, so am I.
Right.
But, okay, I just didn't know how you thought.
Because I think that he, like, respects you in a way that he doesn't, you know, like the same way Mia comes to me when she needs certain advice.
Yeah, like I would not be comfortable talking to our daughter about this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I'd be way more comfortable talking to our sons about this kind of
right
thing.
Right, but
yeah,
I do talk to our daughter about that.
Well, she's
stuff
14.
Okay, but doesn't matter. I don't think age matters. I think you do it when you need to do it. I think you start young. I think my mom was talking to us about stuff. I mean, we were like literally talking about this stuff when I was really young. And I think that that helped a little bit. And I think I had like a mental, you know, I think I had OCD and stuff, which made it more uncomfortable. But at the same time, I was never worried at any point that she was going to be angry at me for anything. And that was huge. Like, I think she was always so open that I was sort of like, I can tell her anything.
And that's such a gift because that's rare. Because yes. I didn't have that. Yes. And I felt so fear. Uncomfortable. Yes. And fear about any sort of, I felt so much shame.
Mm-hmm.
Around, and so
no, I never felt any shame.
Yeah. And that's.
From her. Right. I felt it from my mental illness, but not from her.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's important because that's like, as parents, like our kids, even now, I mean, your daughter's 14, and I'm sure the dynamic is changing, but like they look at us for the answers. They mm-hmm. look at us for what's normal. What is normal? What is not normal? My parents like taught me what that means. And that's not always normal.
Yeah.
And as adults, now we have to unpack that and like, yeah. you know, decide what our new normal is.
Right. So. And I feel like one thing I want to ask you guys, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if living in the suburbs where we live is like different from where you guys live or anything. But what do you tell your kids? What do you tell your daughter? You guys have daughters. What do you tell them about what you're looking for in like a partner? I know, because that's hard for me too. Because I.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I mean, it's much different than what I would have told you 10 years ago, what you're looking for in a partner. Because what I would have told you 10 years ago was very based on logistics and religion and, you know, certain things about, like, their beliefs or whatever. Now it's much more about spirituality and how you feel. And not that I'm so spiritual, but more about, like, being in sync and being compatible as opposed to being the same religion or being, you know what I mean? Like, it changed for me. So I'm just wondering
you're talking about what the kids would want in a partner.
What I hope they're going to want in a partner.
Well, do you think that gotcha. That, for your daughters, would they model your husband? I mean, is that...
No. No, so far, obviously not. Because we spoke about before with our daughter, who is, you know, 14 already.
She's much more open-minded.
She's not looking for that straightforward, like, a woman marries a man, and that's the way things are. You know, like...
Which I'm proud of.
Yeah, of course. She's open to whatever.
She's open to anything. Yeah, and I'm proud of that.
This is obviously my daughter's 4. Our daughters are 4.
Yeah.
So obviously this isn't like a conversation we've yet to have. I think especially because the only relationship really that my daughter's ever seen is me and her father, which I'm not even quite sure she really remembers. I think there's parts of it maybe, but she was really, I mean, she's 4. We broke up 2 years ago. So she was 2.
But even not in like a marital spouse, like in a relationship, what do you say to
Well, I always say even in friendship, like, because relationships are based in friendship, mm-hmm. whether it's romantic or not, like communication, respect, like those are two things that I'm always trying to push with her is like, and that's with any kid, like, don't be an asshole to your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, you help your friends. Like if they need help, you offer your help, you know, but you also like, if you don't like that, then say that. So, I mean, those are the conversations I'm having now. I mean, as I'm still fucking trying to figure out what the fuck
right,
I want
sure.
out of a relationship. Okay. I mean, I know communication is key and I think that's universal, whether it's love or friendship. But as far as a man, I don't know. Man or woman, I don't know.
Our kids are young and me and Erica haven't like been in a lot of situations.
I think that's what our podcast and a lot of it is us trying to figure out what that is.
Sure.
Especially because we thought we were in relationships for the rest of our lives with our partners and then that changed.
Well, I think like upon being in that my child's father's relationship, there was a lot of disrespect. So I'm really big on respect. Like I want to be big on respect because I want her to understand that it's not acceptable because I came from a parents that are still married today, but like totally crazy, you know, mm-hmm. like constant fighting, constant arguing, constant.
Right. That's not always the best.
Infidelity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, saw all the shit, you know, but I think that with her, I'd just rather be transparent. Like I dated someone that she was around and like, it didn't really work out, you know, and she was around and like, it was long distance because he's in New Jersey, but like, I'm like, we broke up. We broke up.
Did you tell her that?
Yeah, we broke up. You know,
you did?
Like, yeah.
Recently then?
Yeah.
And what did she understand what that meant?
Yeah.
Really?
And then I overheard her playing with her friend, and they're like, I'm calling my boyfriend. No, call me back. Like, yelling and away from the phone. I'm just totally confused. But, like, I saw her mimic that. But I feel like I want to come from a place of being honest, because Prince Charming is not going to just scoop me off my fucking feet. This may take a couple trial and errors. I'm not saying every guy I date is going to meet her. This one she had met anyway. She had been around. She had spent time with. And I told you, like, last time I was there, I was in his house, and I asked him something, and he lied to me, and I could feel that he lied to me, and it was irritating the shit out of me, and she was with me, and I was just sitting there, and she looked up at me, and she's like, what's wrong, mommy? And I said, I'm tired, and she said, you look sad. And I said, no, I'm just tired. She said, well, you look sad. And at that moment, at 4, I knew she understands my feelings in a way deeper space.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie and sugarcoat shit. Yeah. I mean, to a four-year-old's comprehension. But I just think, like, I think it's important to be honest that, you know, it's like, I'm looking for a husband. We're looking for a husband. She's like, she wants siblings when I get married and find a husband and someone who treats us good and we like. So it's like to her, you know, her scope of comprehension right now at 4 years old. But I'm not going to be, like, pretending that shit doesn't happen and, like, breakups don't happen and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
I think to some extent you have to be kind of...
I think we're both still not figuring that out, navigating. I haven't had a relationship. I mean, she's had more of a relationship than I have, and for my daughter. She met someone I was dating twice. Did she know we're dating? I don't know.
So really, like, the most important relationship you have is with yourself.
And
absolutely,
and I'm still trying to.
I swear to God, like, fucking Ariana Grande is the one who fucking taught me that.
That Ariana.
I'm not kidding, like, for real.
Got your therapist.
Wait, what song was that?
Thank You, Next.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking thankful for that.
I mean, really. That's really how
He's
I feel.
He's looking at you like, so who's your head?
All right, so tell everybody how they can find you.
You can find us at goodmoms_badchoices on Instagram.
And goodmomsbadchoices.com.
We don't have Twitter. Oh, we
do have Twitter.
Yeah, but don't follow us.
I know. That's like us, too. I'm like, always like, don't even bother.
There's nothing there. Like, do we have a Twitter?
We do.
We have Facebook, though, so do that.
Well, you know,
Instagram is your, yeah, that's your biggest, right?
Yeah. We tweet.
We have a secret Facebook page, actually.
Oh, that's fun.
We also have a Patreon.
But our secret Facebook page is where the real dirt is.
Oh,
secret.
You have to be on Patreon.
I can't
to
wait
to
get
private.
Oh,
secret
cool.
Page.
Yeah. Adam's there.
So what's the Patreon page?
Adam already.
Good Moms Bad Choices.
Okay.
Yeah. We're Good Moms Bad Choices.
And that'll
choices
lead you to the secret Facebook page.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, well, we love you guys. You're so awesome. Yeah, and you're really, like, you're authentic and fun. And
I'm not going home.
I know.
I mean, you've been here all day.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like actually nighttime now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had the best time with you guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome and we love you and we can't wait for the next time that we hang out.
Yeah.
In New Jersey.
We're coming to the valley. Yeah, and we'll come to Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, you have to say the city, not New Jersey.
The city.
The city.
The city.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.